he started to follow God. He went all over the Roman Empire and told people about Jesus so much that some people didn't like him and they locked him up in jail. But by that time, he had started churches all over the Roman Empire. And one big, big church was in the city of Ephesus. The city of Ephesus was kind of like Vancouver. It was right down close to the ocean. It had mountains around it. It had big hills anyway. And there was lots of international trade that went back and forth, and lots of money came in and out of there. The only thing was, this big city worshipped some statue. They had this big statue of an ugly woman that they said had fallen from heaven, and they all worshipped her. Yeah, that's enough about her. And anyway, Paul came along, and he taught so many people about Jesus that they stopped buying the little idols, the little statues of this god, until the silversmiths in that town got angry and wanted him out of their city because not enough people were buying their idols to keep their businesses going. That's the city of Ephesus. And there was a young man named Timothy who Paul trained to be a leader. And then he left him in that city to lead the church. This was also the city where Aquila and Priscilla worked for quite a few years as well. Well, one time, after many years had gone by, and Paul was locked up in Caesar's prison all the way in Rome, a long, long ways, there he is in Rome, and Paul starts writing letters. Now, we need another mailman. James, could you be a mailman? They didn't have... I think Paul wrote a letter, and if I could read it, you go get the letter from Paul and bring it to me. Thank you very much. You can sit down. I'll give you a box of chocolates at Christmas. I hope he forgets that. Oh, let's see. What's this letter here? Oh, here is a letter from Paul to Timothy. We need someone to be Timothy. Who's going to be a good young pastor? Who would you pick to be a young pastor? Somebody, I think you guys are a little bit too young. Somebody like, yes, Mr. De Guzman, come here. Now, you know, everybody wears uniforms. Car mechanics wear those blue things, and teenagers wear headphones, and pastors, for some reason, I don't know why, but they always wear these ties. So, put this on here, and we'll just tighten it up here. Huh? There we go. Matches his shirt. Well, maybe not. And since you're a young pastor, see, I'm a middle-aged pastor, so I wear ties. Actually, you should have one of those big crosses or something. And you should have a Bible like this, okay? So this is your Bible. So, Timothy, I have a letter here. And since you're the pastor of such a large church and you're used to having a secretary do everything for you, you probably can't even read this. So let me read this to you. It says... Oh, it's to Timothy. It's from Paul, who's in prison. And he says this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, peace, I thank God, I remind you of your sincere, fan into flame, don't be ashamed, join with me in suffering. Oh, man, he is suffering, isn't he? Timothy... Paul has given everything. He has suffered all over the world, but he keeps going and going and going because he wants people to know about Jesus. But I've passed on to you teaching. Keep it. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me. Please come and visit me. But then before you go and visit him, he writes on some more things that he wants you to think about and to do. Because you see, Paul has soldiers chasing him, like this little guy here. People throwing apples at him. No. Paul has had a hard life. He's given everything. And yet, other Christians are deserting him. So, Timothy, here you are in Ephesus with this big church. And he wants you to think about how you lead your church. And Paul is saying to you, son, be strong. Not this kind of strength, But be strong in Christ Jesus, in His grace. And the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. Now, here's the important part for today. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Soldier, wait a minute, I thought you were a pastor. Ah. Madeline, can you come help me? We've got to make him into a soldier. How about we take this pastor uniform off? Okay? Look in that bag there. See if there's any soldier stuff that he could have. You see any soldier stuff in there? Oh, a shield. Any others in there? I think there's another one. There it is. Now, thank you very much. Now, you got to stand where they can all see you, though, because you're kind of hiding behind the flowers here, and soldiers don't hide behind the flower beds. Okay? You stand in front of the flower bed, and okay? You're going to turn everybody to the color of this flower, that sword. Okay, so hold up your sword, hold up your shield. Now, Paul says, endure hardship like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits. Boy, that's a lot of big words. His aim is to please the one that enlisted him. That's a big word. What's enlisted mean? Okay, so here's what Paul's saying. You're going to go through some hard times, but keep on going through just like I am. Pretend you're a soldier. Don't get involved in things that aren't part of your task, your mission. Your aim is to please the one who enlisted you in the army. Your goal, your purpose, is to make God happy. He's the one that chose you to be His soldier. Now, you stand there and be a soldier. I'm going to say a few things because your mom and dad might not have caught on to all those things, okay? A soldier endures. Why? They have a single focus. They're single-minded. A soldier follows the orders, completes the mission. A soldier is not a civilian. A soldier is not free to determine his or her own course. Not free to make plans for what is best for themselves. They're on mission. When they go home, they'll worry about that stuff. But right now, they're on mission. And the soldier cannot make his own course, cannot make his own plans. He follows the command of his chief. He follows the captain. He follows the orders. He completes his task. The soldier has enlisted for a mission. Enlisted, that means he joined up. That means someone talked him into going to war for them. Someone talked them into being on their team. You know, many times we are excited because of the glorious King. Lift up your head. Let the King of glory come in. Let the King of glory fill me with life. Let the King of glory fill me with joy. Let him fill me with peace. We say, Jesus found me. I believed in him. He gave me new life. I know about his goodness. But have you enlisted? Are you on mission? Is it only about what I've believed so what I can receive? Or has the King enlisted you? Has the King sent you? Are you included in his purpose, his mandate? Number one, soldiers endure hardship. Their life is not their own. They follow the orders. Number two, a soldier is not a civilian. Now, that sounds obvious. But that's actually at the heart of what Paul is saying to Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, don't get entangled in civilian affairs. Don't let the things around you
distract you from your real mission. The soldier, whether engaged or not, is always on call. Always ready to be called up to duty. In fact, we could let you just take a break there. No, take your stuff with you because we're going to call you up to duty. Yeah, take your M&Ms too. Don't forget the candy. So he's having a candy break. But the soldier is always ready to be called up to duty. When the radio sounds, when the alarm goes off, he's on duty. The one who's enlisted is not free to get involved in the affairs of the local people around him. He might see disagreements going on around him and want to step in. He might see local politics and want to be involved. He might see business opportunity in the country he's in. Enterprise. But he's on a mission. Right now, he must be content with his pay. He must be content with his living conditions. He must say no to the draw of temporary pleasure. He must not be distracted because Commander-in-Chief has sent him for his purpose. All day long, you and I are surrounded by civilians, but we're on mission. Like the seed that falls among the thorns, there's always the temptation to hear, but then be choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. Jesus said that, Luke chapter 8. There is a wide road, there is an easy road, and there's many people on it. All around us are many people on the easy road. Civilian life goes on. It looks appealing to us. And constantly the appeal is with us to disengage from the mission and just blend into the population. Daily, our lives, our successes, our accomplishments are being compared to others, aren't they? We're always measuring our life with our coworkers, our life with our neighbors, our life compared to my older brother, my uncle. We're always comparing. We go on Facebook and see what everyone else is doing and think, I could do that. We go to a family reunion or a class reunion. And we come home wondering about our lives and our comparisons, our successes, our possessions, our accomplishments. And in our heart, we might find ourselves saying, I could have done that, but what? But I was on mission. I could have done that, but I actually thought that God wanted me to take this career. I thought that God wanted me to live here. The decision to follow God has cost me my time. It's cost me my money. It's given my talents to other people. I spent my lifetime caring for those around me, or for my parents, or for something else that God led me into. A tenth of everything I get goes back to the kingdom. I could have that boat too if I'd add all that up. And we might be tempted, like the older brother in last week's story, to say, all these years I've been slaving for you, and you've never given me even a young goat to celebrate with my friends. The temptation is there. But church, God is no debtor. God is no debtor. God is no taskmaster. As for man, Psalms 103, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. His righteousness is with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Let the King of Glory enlist you. Let him call you to purpose. Let him send you on mission. Let the King of Glory enlist you as a soldier. Hey, wait a minute. You're not a soldier, not that kind of a soldier. Paul's writing to Timothy here. Now, let me see here. It says that you are, you're leading the church in Ephesus. Now, Paul is talking to you to think about how life is for a soldier. But actually, it's not quite like that. You're called, Joshua, to be one of God's soldiers and to lead God's people. Here you are. We'll put you back as a pastor. Now, you can stand right there. Don't hide behind a flower bed. And what does Paul mean when he says that a young guy like you should not get distracted from your mission? Because he's not really talking about using swords and spears and cutting up people that you're not happy with that day or somebody that stole your swing on the playground. No, actually, he wrote a lot more things in this same letter. And I don't have them all here. I think the mailman didn't deliver them all. But if you give me just a minute, we need some volunteers to go get some mail for us. Okay, we need 8 people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You guys go to Paul and get one of his messages. Go to Paul and get one of his messages. There he is. And now, go find somebody who you think could stand up and read really loud and clear what's in that envelope. Okay, so go find somebody that you think could read really loud and clear and give it to them. Pick on somebody. Maybe a young person that you think could read. I bet Hamilton could read it. Everybody got your mail delivered? Okay, still got a few more. Got to deliver the mail. Oh, Joy Ogundari got one. Hey, now that reminds me, a bunch of people graduated from grade 12 last week, and Joy was one of them, and Claire was one of them, and who else? Elizabeth is one of them, and Mary. Anybody else? I mean, people that are here today. All right, grade 12s, well done. Good job. So, Timothy, since you're a soldier for God, there's some instructions that he has about not getting distracted. There's some things that Paul wrote to say there's some things you really need to do, and there's some other things that you really need to try not to do. So we're just going to let these guys read it. Somebody has a paper that starts out with number 1. Stand up loud and clear. Read it for everybody to hear.
What you heard from me keep as the pattern of sound teaching. With faith and love in Christ Jesus, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit.
Very good. Thank you. So, what Paul has taught you about God, guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Don't let it go. Who has number 2? Stand up loud and clear. Good job. Don't fight with people. And don't have fights about just stupid little things about theology, like little words about this or little words about that or genealogies or all that kind of stuff, right? Don't get involved in that kind of stuff. Number 3. Where are you? Okay. Loud and clear. Very good. So do your best to know your Bible and handle it properly. Don't just open up, put your finger there and say, that's God's word. Figure out what it means. Read it. Number four.
2 Timothy 2:16. Avoid
God's chatter. So don't start gossiping with a bunch of people and chattering about this, that, and the other thing. Just stay on course. Don't get distracted. Number five. So you are set apart for Him only. No one else, nothing else has a right to your life. You're set apart for God only. Holy for Him. Number six. Okay, when you're young, there's lots of things that look like a lot of fun because you've never done it before. It's the first time, but you got to trust God when He says, actually, that stuff's bad for you. Go look at that guy who's 60 years old and he did that for 30 years and it messed him up big time. Learn from it. Flee those kind of desires and stay on track. Number seven. Thank you. This is like the other one. There's some people that just want to argue about all kinds of crazy stuff. Don't get involved with it. Just turn the other way and stay on track. Number eight. Good job. So, Timothy, be nice to everybody, even people that are as mean as Mr. Sands. I mean, even those kind of people, you've got to be nice to everybody. Hope that he'll meet God someday. Okay? And we need Mr. Whitley's microphone. Lastly, Wolfie has memorized Psalms chapter 1. And there's a whole bunch of good instruction there about how you live as a soldier. Where's Wolfie? Why don't you speak to Timothy there and tell him how to live?
Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers him. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand on the day of judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish.
Very good.
Timothy, don't walk in the counsel of wicked people. Listen to God. He will steer your course. Now you can sit down, and we're almost finished. All right, give Timothy a hand there. Those who the king has enlisted experience hardship. They don't get involved in civilian affairs. And lastly, they serve to please their master. They have one goal in mind. That's to please him. Whatever it takes, they will get home someday. And they won't leave their comrades behind. And the king who enlisted them for service will look them in the eye and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy. And there will be a homecoming party. And the band will play and the people will cheer. And the soldier's family will welcome him, decorate with honors, and remember the bravery and the sacrifice. Soldiers, finish well. It will happen. Finish well. Never tire of love and good deeds. You have one life to give. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, readers. Thank you, Timothy. God bless you all.